You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of August 31st, 2016, and today we venture into the Elo hell of Overwatch.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Abor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And you know what's goddamn serious?
What is super serious?
My fucking rank in Overwatch.
That's true. Well, the competitive season is over in Overwatch. I'm terrified about having to go through my re-ranking qualifiers, I guess you would call them.
Yeah.
Because I got out of what I deemed my own personal Elo hell. Because I was in the 40s for like a good long while. I finally broke the 50s barrier. And I was like, hey, most of these games I'm playing with, people aren't total asshats. They're on mic. They're communicating. Yeah. I felt like I achieved it.
Yeah.
It is my nightmare that I go into qualifiers for season two in like a week. And I get placed into like the 20s or something.
I think that can happen on either direction. Because I remember those qualifying matches, and some of them, it's just you get stuck with a bad team,
or
you have a bad game, and
you lose like match after match. After, you just watch that number, like, oh my god, dear god.
Or like what happened to me is I won a bunch in a row, and then whenever I would lose a match in the actual season, it would penalize me so hard.
Yep.
Like I remember going from like the 50s into the mid 40s, and then it's like, yikes.
Yeah, like, that was like a season one problem, you know, for sure. Like, yeah. I mean, we're bearing the lead here a little bit, but what I did like was Overwatch kept a separate score of personal rank versus team rank.
Yeah.
And so they could tell, oh, you lost this match, but you fucking carried. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you got a bunch of golds in this match, and you're consistently doing better, so maybe we'll be more lenient.
Yeah.
So hopefully season two system will be a bit more legible.
Yeah. What we didn't do is see
how low we could go.
But Dale Bacon Totem Brown did.
Bacon Totem, the hero we deserve.
We're talking about a story that Kotaku did about Dale Brown. He attempted to get the lowest rank possible in Overwatch on purpose. To see, to plumb the depths.
Is there anything you could compare this to in real life? Like, is this quintessentially an online gaming phenomenon? You don't see anybody going to the Olympics being like, I want to see how quick they can fucking drown in the 400 meter race.
I'm going to first qualify for the Olympics and then try to fail as hard as I can.
I mean, to be fair, I did see those Filipino divers and something was wrong.
It almost made me think of those guys because it's like you almost get the sense that they're trolling after a while.
It's like doing NASCAR and then just be like, fuck it, I'm going to race backwards. Yeah. Just in reverse.
I'm trying to think of, I mean, there are people who, I suppose, you know, there's like niche hobbies.
No, you know what it is? It's the eating competitions. That's what it is.
But the eating competitions, they're not trying to be as bad as possible.
They're trying to win. But that's my point, though. This person, Bacon Totem, is trying to win an event of his own design.
Yeah.
That design is losing a lot of Overwatch in much the same way that the design of an eating competitor is to engorge themselves on hot dogs to a point where they're not even tasting it. It's just sliding down their gullet like a seabird.
Well, they're just trying to hit a number. You know,
that's what Bacon
50.
Totem is.
That's
Bacon
what I'm
Totem
saying. He's trying to hit zero.
And both of them are really bad for your health.
Well, let's talk about Bacon Totem a little bit. Because I think this story is freaking fascinating.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is by Nathan Grayson, and it's a really good read. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. So there was, as they say in the story, there was a point where he realized that he's just not that good at FPSs, which is probably like most of the people in the world are like, I'm okay at FPSs. So instead of trying to get better, he just tried to see, in his words, let's see how bad it gets.
Oh my God. Boy, does it get bad.
And then he tried to, he started purposefully being bad at Overwatch to see how low he could get from, I don't know what the ranking was. They're mixing it up for the next season, but it was from what, 0 to 50, 0 to 100?
I think it was something. Well,
0 to 70.
I think it might be 0 to 100, but I believe like the highest ranking esports players were in like 69, 70.
Okay, so there was like a theoretical 100, but yes. You know, it was like a bell curve, yeah, or whatever.
Can I just read some of the choice bits, yeah, out of this interview?
Yeah,
because I find it to be. Here's the thing, his description of the doldrums of Overwatch.
Mm.
Are described like it's a post-apocalyptic experience.
Yeah.
Like this is what it looks like in the dead zone, mm-hmm, where people are just gnawing on each other's bones.
Yeah.
Okay. So he says, what I found was that the people in the 40s were much more willing to try and still work together because these are probably people like me who are winning some but losing more.
Mm-hmm.
That's the place where probably, yeah, you and I spent most of our time,
yep, for
in
sure,
competitive season.
Yeah.
Then when I got into the 30s, I was starting to see people who still have vague hope. So these are people who are bad, but still believe, you know what? Perseverance.
It reminds me of you are in the Firelink Shrine, and there's one person who still has a little bit of soul left.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
I'm still going.
Exactly. You
know? And then all of a sudden, they disappear.
They go hollow. Yeah, exactly. Okay, then he says, in the mid-30s, I met the angriest people in the world. This isn't the angriest people in Overwatch. This is the angriest people in the world. So, like, these people... They're trying, but they're still losing so hard.
That's the saddest part.
Yes.
Because that's the most depressing part, because those are the people that they realize that they're losing all the time.
Yes.
But they think they shouldn't be losing.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Doesn't everybody feel that way? Like, I certainly feel that way in my regular, like, quick play matches.
But, I mean, I'm sure there's some people out there who are just like, well, you know, I'm just doing this. Like, I guess maybe if you're playing ranked, inherently you expect that you should be winning.
Yes. So, Bacon Totem went on to say what happened at some point was he started playing Hanzo.
Yes.
And someone misspelt it, asking him to change it as Hanjo with a J.
Yeah.
And therefore always played as Hanzo.
Yeah.
And would just say, I Hanjo, and then, like, play miserably.
I think there's something... I think it's like a stroke of genius, or at least just a lucky break that he... stuck with Hanzo, because I, yes, feel like within the Overwatch community, Hanzo is either at minimum he is a divisive,
yes,
and probably more realistically he's probably one of the more hated characters.
I fucking hate Hanzos.
Yeah,
like I've said before on the podcast, I have grown more competitive in my old age than less.
Yeah.
And I'm finding, like, it's despicable.
When you see someone pick Hanzo over and over, yes, again,
it's, well, what's, like, worst is then I see them, when I see a Hanzo get play of the game,
mm-hmm,
my thought is, like, this isn't good. This is just convincing you you were right.
Yep.
Like, we won despite the fact he, yeah, was Hanzo.
You got one lucky shot and got play of the game, yet that will reinforce your behavior for, like, the next 10 games.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
You fired one of those, like, multi-shot volleys,
mm-hmm,
when I weakened everybody with, like, a Zarya, mm-hmm, and a Winston alt, and now you think you're hot shit, right? Yeah. That's what happened.
Yeah. But I think picking that character, because it's the perfect storm, because people who are, like, edgy, cool guys like to pick Hanzo, because, like, ooh, he's a dragon, or, like, yeah, oh, you could totally no-scope people. Like,
yeah,
like, there's everything about Hanzo... already attracts annoying people.
Yep.
And then he decided to be the most annoying Hanzo.
Yeah, he became... It's kind of like how Kratos slowly became the god of war, you know?
He
became the god of troll. He became Hanzo manifest in the real world. I'm going to read... This is the part that is, like, the last layer of hell,
mm-hmm,
in my mind. He says... Yeah. So this is talking about, like, the really low, like, these are the tens. He says,
yeah,
they are at the bottom of the barrel and are in complete denial about it.
Yeah.
I started seeing things like matches where Pharahs didn't know how to fly, drunk rats who shoot themselves with their own grenades, and Mays who don't know how to fire. Every single Widowmaker makes me feel like I'm the best sniper in the world.
Let's armchair psychology for a minute. If you're in the tens, if you're having a legit problem flying around or shooting, like... why? Like, what are you doing?
So here's one potential theory.
Yeah.
So I read a story not too long ago about a guy who would let his young daughter play Overwatch, or young son play Overwatch. And their kid was like 6. Like, mm-hmm, all they went in was, like, to be fair, they only played against bots. So,
yeah,
the story doesn't completely imply.
Yeah.
But they would just go in and, like, have fun shooting at a wall.
Okay.
And then one night, in like a drunken stupor, he started playing on his kid's account, dominating people in competitive mode, and slowly, and then the next thing he realized is like, oops, I accidentally boosted my little kid's account.
He's like accidentally sock puppeting his like...
Well, so, and then the little kid played the next day and was up against people who were like yelling expletives at them for like picking, you know, the character that he thought was cute or whatever. And then the kid felt really bad about himself. Moral of the story is don't be a drunk dad and play your kid's online game account. But theoretically, it could be children.
That's a good point, actually.
Maybe there should be an age gate on competitive mode.
But, like, it must be really young. Because I have a feeling that, like...
That's the thing, though, right? It's like, when I was 8 years old, I would probably kick ass at Overwatch. I've met a ton of little kids.
I know. I was trying to think about that. Like, because, like, what's... There's a certain point in time where your motor skills just snap and you're like, okay, I'm probably the best I'll ever be. And I would imagine it's probably somewhere around 12.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get good enough to have that coordination. But like, gosh, I just can't imagine. Like, why wouldn't they just play Quick Match, though?
You know what scares me to the core, though? Here's like...
Honjo?
Honjo. Yeah, oh my God. The moment Honjo appears in my game, I'm out.
If I saw him in my game, though, it'd be like seeing a celebrity.
Oh, I know. Yeah. For sure, right? I would try to lose with him. I was like, this is great. Here's what gets at me, right?
Yeah.
There's a part of me that thinks, what if there are some people down there that are actually good players, but just have the worst luck in the world?
Man.
What if, by just some freak occurrence,
yeah.
because millions of people play this game,
the math is against them.
Just some like digital freak anomaly, they are paired with these Honjo players, these like level 10.
For all their qualifiers.
For all their qualifiers, and then can never escape because every time. Right?
Yeah.
Like, and then this guy, fucking Bacon Totem, is like, they're so bad and they don't even know it. And he's just screaming into the void, right?
That's like a new Twilight Zone.
It is modern day Twilight Zone. Yeah. Like, oh my God, you wake up in Elo hell. No! This is impossible!
But there was time now. There was time.
I was gonna get good.
Yeah, that is terrifying. What was I thinking about? Oh, okay, so like going back to the psychology of the low ranked player.
Yeah.
What do you do? So at that point, I question like human nature at that point. Cuz if you know that you are in the 10s and 20s and you're not getting better, that suggests to me also that you are also a poor learner.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So let's imagine this scenario, right? You buy Overwatch.
Yeah.
And let's go ahead and presume you skipped playing, you played the tutorial because you have to.
Sure, yeah.
You skipped playing quick play entirely. Mm. You went straight to competitive mode.
Yeah.
Even if you did that, presuming you never didn't play a single game of Overwatch, you still are forced to play, what, 10?
10 qualifying.
20 qualifying games. You presumably lose every single one, right? Even then, I bet you Overwatch, Blizzard is probably nice and they put you in the 20s.
Yeah, they would have to.
You lose every single one of those matches.
Yeah.
You keep playing, you continue to lose. At even 12 matches, all losses, all like painfully difficult losses because you're really that... Because honestly, you have to be that bad to stay in there. Why wouldn't you just delete your computer off of the face of the earth? I mean, clearly you are not meant to touch anything electronic.
I mean, I think that's why it's fascinating to hear about the 20s and 30s people being so angry, because it's like this, that's Dunning-Kruger land, where like people can't see their mistakes.
Yeah.
Like they don't know, they're not aware of their own failings.
Yeah.
They're just aware of the fail.
You know, like, the hypothetical fail.
Well, I mean, those times where it's like, you know, you hear the people that are not aware enough to realize why they are bad at a thing.
Okay, so second scary thought then. Is this how pros think of us?
Well,
because you and I, like, here's the thing, right? Like, we are not, my competitive ranking is not, I didn't play enough to, like, climb out of, like, the 50s and into the 60s, right?
Yeah.
And they're literally, I know for a fact there are things that I do that are probably bad. I just don't even know about because I'm not at that skill level where I can recognize minor, like, you know, frames reading and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That.
I mean, I can totally see where, like, I was watching a couple videos and I noticed that some people were reloading and then meleeing and then going to shoot some more because the melee took frames off of the reload.
Right, exactly.
And I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah. I don't think about that stuff.
Like, holy shit.
So.
But I will defend us, though.
Good, because I need it.
Because we've even switched up, like, we follow, like, oh, okay, like, these characters, overall in the meta game.
The meta, yeah, we follow,
like,
the meta.
You know, this, we should be playing Zarya more, we should be playing, you know, Zenyatta more. Like,
I actually read pack notes.
Same here. And because I even saw, like, in my quick play stats, Winston was much higher, and then in my competitive stats, McCree was much higher. And I was like, oh, I actually learned there. Like, McCree has been shown to be more popular and also, you know, more deadly against people like Pharah or whatever.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, I at least learned a thing or two.
Sure.
You know, yeah. Like, I could at least somewhat evolve, but I fully realize that I'll never get out of the 50s.
Sure.
I don't even have enough time to do it. You know, like, I don't have,
But the difference between us and people in their, like, 10s is that their base, like, what they need to learn is actually, like, really obvious because the tooltips tell you between matches. Like,
hey, you don't have any healers.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. But that's even weirder because you know those people in the 10s and 20s were seeing those messages.
Yeah.
And probably not heeding them.
Yeah. Ihondra.
I mean, the game itself was trying to tell them.
Like, so Bacon Tota mentions this as well, but he specifically says when he gets really low, he encounters and meets... This is, I mean, again, like, this is like Stephen King's Stand level of, like, apocalyptic vision.
Yeah.
But he encounters other people who are also trying to get to low levels.
Yeah.
So at this point, you are literally playing with people that want to lose.
You've inverted the competition.
Exactly.
Yeah, like...
Now, like, that is the event horizon of shit, right? Like, when you're playing Overwatch and you're trying, but you're so bad that you suddenly start to group with people who want to lose, there's no escaping that. Because half of the time, you will be paired with people trying to lose.
Oh, man. And you'll be forced up to the top.
No. That's the thing about the ranking system, right? Is that, look, the ideal ELO system has you lose and win about, what, 50% of the time, right? And every game feels like a close competition.
Mm-hmm.
When you get that low and you start playing with people who want to lose... That is going to be the switch you're getting between back and forth again. And that is also terrifying.
Whereas there was another person that he had met. I'm trying to find it in the article here. It was a Reaper player that was trying to do the same thing.
How do you, like, I don't
know. Oh, yeah, okay. He met another player called Worst Reaper NA. But he was apparently, according to him, he was way more aggressive. Like, he would call out players like, oh, I suck so bad and you lost me, blah, blah, blah. But he just decided that Worst Reaper NA was, like, role-playing as the Worst Reaper.
Yes.
And so he said, he's canonical as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I like
as
that.
As the Worst Reaper.
I don't understand how you throw games, but still not appear to be throwing games. Because, and Bacon Tota mentions this, right? Like, theoretically, these people would be weeded out of the system entirely.
Yeah.
They would be reported and banned.
Yeah.
So clearly something is broken, because if you are role-playing as, say, the Worst Reaper NA, that you go up to, what, a Roadhog and wait and stand still until he grabs you and then just shoot blanks into the air?
Like, but it's kind of a balancing act because theoretically you could, and we should talk about this in a minute, theoretically you could get banned, you know, for throwing matches, because if not, you could just jump off a stage.
Yeah, exactly.
For like 10 minutes straight, just keep jumping off the stage, you know? Like,
or you would set up a Symmetra portal to dump people off the side of the map.
Or I guess maybe you could as...
Which I'm going to do now.
I was about to say. Well, like, as Mei, I suppose you could really start trolling people and, like, putting up walls when...
Over your own teammates,
exactly. Over your own teammates, like...
And that will definitely get you reported.
I mean, you would think. But, like, at a certain point, you do need to start getting creative about how shitty you are.
Right.
To get down into those low levels.
But, like, why bother in that way, right? Like, if you're really trying to... I guess this is a question of Bacon Totem's sanity, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I get it, but, like, is he having fun and pushing the boundaries of what is allowed in Overwatch?
Yeah.
Or is he actually someone that is just toxic, but in, like, a way that is kind of funny because it highlights the frailties of the Overwatch system?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is why I think this this story and this episode is interesting at the time that Overwatch is at right now, which is like the nascent days of, will this become a big thing? Will it go into the, like, what tier of competitive game will this be?
Plus, this is coming right after the very first season, which they were very open about, like, hey, this is a test period. Yeah. A lot will change.
Yeah, because depending on what happens, like, we've seen this in other games. Like, freaking Donkey. Like, didn't he get banned from League?
He got banned from League,
because of fucking around like this, basically? Yeah. Like, I don't know if he was, like... He was fucking
I think
around.
He was also toxic a little bit.
Well, like, obviously. Yes. I've seen his videos, yes. Like, but, I mean, like, he was kind of... He was playing competitive, but not... he was throwing matches.
Yeah, he was playing just trolling, competitive, basically. Not competitively, yeah. Essentially. Yeah.
And so, you know, League has to take this super seriously because, you know, not only... is that their entire business model of, like, making a competitive game.
Yeah, the integrity
game,
of the game. Yeah.
But it's also someone who has a very far reach of millions of YouTube people. And if you see that and don't punish it, there's going to be a bunch of other people saying, well, if Dunkey does it, this is, like, also a fun thing.
And there were, right? Like, when Dunking got banned, he was like, oh, all of these other people do it, and they're not banned.
Yeah.
And then Riot banned, like, one other guy, and the guy was like, oh, yeah, I totally deserved it. I know for a fact. I called people awful things. Like, I was hateful, like...
Well, and that's what Bacon Totem was saying. He said, because he started meeting other people. Like, apparently there's some guy in Korea that tries to maintain a level of one. There's, other people. And he was saying, like, if Blizzard wanted to, they could probably just ban him and his entire friends list because it's just people gaming the system like this. Which brings up the point of, why the fuck wasn't this guy banned?
Yeah.
Like, you know he must have been reported countless times.
Yep.
Like, this... I think.
Well, I mean, maybe. Blizzard's reporting system is not intuitive.
Yeah. Well, plus it doesn't block. And I don't. But I mean, I don't know. To me, you gotta believe that this guy was reported.
Yes.
What? 10 times? 20 times?
Yeah, I mean, because again,
times,
like, I have a hard time. Like, I don't understand how you reach that rank without getting to a point where you are clearly, intentionally losing.
Yeah.
Right, because you can go and pretend and just do bad, but by the time you hit the tens, like, you're playing against people that are legitimately just so bad that even half giving it is going to win you half your games.
Well, and, like, how do you make it out of the 20s and 30s without being banned? Because maybe the tens are children or people that are totally clueless. They don't even know how to report people.
Yes,
but the tens, but the 20s and 30s, they probably report people all the time.
Right,
for probably dumb reasons because they don't understand how to play the game, and so they're probably reporting people for, like, the wrong reasons.
Sure. Well, but the thing is, you could fake it, right? Like, in the 30s or 40s, right, if you're playing as Hanjo, you could fire your arrow at, like, people's feet, right?
Yeah.
So when they're watching replays or something, they might see it. And again, Blizzard hides so much information about your team's performance, so you're not going to see, Hanjo is 0 and 25. He's died 25 times and gotten no kills.
Right.
And all that information is hidden behind a wall.
That's a really good point, actually, because they don't expose any of that stuff.
How would you
know?
It
is harder,
I mean, you and I played a match yesterday, and we were like, what, this Widowmaker's not leaving the base.
Yeah.
And then we, like, trolled at her until, like, she left the base. But other than that, how do you know someone is not carrying their weight? I mean, you would know because, like, you never see the little Hanzo appear on the screen, but most of the time you're too busy working your own game and trying to get kills and stuff.
That's true. That's a weird, unintended consequence of trying to combat toxicity.
Yes.
Of you actually hide it so much.
That, you enable it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But only this very specific type of toxicity.
That's,
you know, like,
correct,
it's like
this
very, like, it's like a hyper-specific kind of trolling that is only capable in this type of game.
Bacon Totem and his ilk are driving the little trollmobile, like, right through the loophole.
That's true.
That is...
He's threaded the troll needle.
They're threading the troll needle that Blizzard created to protect people like us from people like them.
Yeah. It still baffles me. I feel like the kind of unspoken lesson of this article, though, is that the reporting system is fundamentally broken to the point of being useless.
Yeah.
Because I have to believe that he was reported dozens of times.
Well, and the question too, right, is, like, can you build something in there that recognizes this type of behavior of throwing games, right? Like, is someone consistently missing? I don't know. I mean, even then you could be like, maybe they've got, like, I don't know, visual impairment.
Right,
or
exactly. Maybe they have, like, a disability, you know, wrist or something like
But here's the thing, right? Like, if you are... I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. But if you were able to design a system that could at least see if you, say, are intentionally killing yourself again and again, or if you're not leaving base and all you're doing is sort of, like, walking in a circle, right? Then maybe you could at least block them from playing competitive mode.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's the thing that, like, Riot does, right? Where if you're reported enough, then you'll lose your ability to play in ranked games, but you can still go play normals, right?
Yeah.
And then earn your way back in.
Yeah.
So if anything, if you want to make the game open for everybody, that's fine. But you should try harder to make the competitive space taken seriously as a area of high competition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, to some extent, even the people who are really bad, should they be allowed to play competitive mode?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the, you know, in theory, that's the whole point of ranked, where you would, no matter how good you are, you'll be ranked at a place where you'll win about 50%.
Sure, but so,
you
know? Riot did this for, at least for many years, I'm not sure if they still do it, because I've been pro for a while now, but in League of Legends, you must hit a minimum character level before you can enter competitive mode. Yeah. So maybe there should be a cap that says, hey, you know what, you need to play at least 50 normal quick play modes before you can compete in competitive mode.
Yeah.
To at least say, hey, you've gotten into practice.
That's what, and it's not like Blizzard is loath to do that. They did that same thing with Heroes of the Storm.
Right, and Heroes of the Storm was worse. You had to wait a good long while before you can play ranked.
Because there was a meta level of just your player level, and then you had to get at least, they even increased it, actually. Like, you had to get more than 5 characters up to level 5 before you could even
play. So there's literally no reason not to implement almost that exact same system, because Overwatch does have a personal player rank.
Yeah.
If they just said, hey, you cannot play competitive until you reach level 50, then, you know. But again, it doesn't solve for this issue,
right,
where you're intentionally doing it. But maybe for the people in the 10s and 20s, it wouldn't be so bad a space.
Well, and again, I don't know this, but the people that I see in Overwatch that are poor tend to be poor and continue to play the same character.
Yes.
So it would be an interesting exercise to say, you have to get to, you know, they institute a character level.
Oh, yeah. A character rank X in order to play as that character.
Or do an interesting thing, like, you have to get to character rank 5 in at least one from each class and then a bonus.
Right, to earn your way in.
Right, so it's like you have a healer, a tank, a specialist, and an assault or whatever, plus one bonus.
Right.
Like, whatever your favorite class is, you have to have one more.
Yep.
And then you can get in.
Yeah, I could see that. Because what you do see is I've heard people specifically type into chat, oh, I'm playing Widowmaker because I need to practice Widowmaker.
Yeah.
And I get that sometimes you want to practice in an environment that is taking itself more seriously.
Yeah.
But maybe that sort of the practice period, should it be exclusive to quick play?
Yeah. Or, you know, it's different practicing when you're truly new versus practicing when it's just not your main person.
Yes.
Like, you know, you can be competent but not expert and still have a fine game. There's a difference between 0 and 5, you know?
That's true. Like, yeah, that's true. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, if you understand the basic concept and you put in the time and you know that you need to get on the fucking point.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me get my notebook. George, can you say that one more time?
Yeah, get on the point.
Oh, okay. Got the point.
Even if you are like a Widowmaker and you're a shitty Widowmaker, you still get the idea that I need to go get on the point.
Mm.
Well, I mean, you don't because you're playing Widowmaker or Hanzo or whatever.
But you should be able to. I mean, there's also just some like learnings where it's like, you know, if it's overtime, you should like, you know, kind of flirt with the point. Get on it, then run away. Then get on it and run away. But like, you know, that stuff's hard to teach unless you've just played a lot of matches and seen that behavior.
Right.
But that's the point of like putting some sort of qualifying, you know, rubric in there about how to play. To go back to being bad at it though, there was kind of a nice poetry to what he had to do to maintain his low rank.
Yeah.
Like when he accidentally killed someone, or like he would, you know, unfortunately for him, be on the be on a good team that would help him. And so like the kind of art of being terrible.
Yeah.
That's where like what you were saying about the eating contest comes into play. Where it's like,
I feel like there's someone who participates in the eating contest listening to this being like, don't compare me to Bacon Totem.
It kind of reminded me of the Super Mario 64 avoiding the mushroom runs.
Yeah, like a challenge run.
Yeah. Where it's like you are purposefully playing in a way that would normally be considered poor play, but it takes so much skill to play like that.
Yeah.
It's like doing the avoid the coins run. Or,
right.
You know.
But you're also screwing it over for other people.
Yeah.
It's more like if you were to play a relay race while you like run around backwards or something.
That's,
or like hurdles while you were like slapping your opponents and just just crashing through all of the hurdles.
The moment you introduce any sort of social aspect to it, you know, the skill is still there, but the achievement is coming at the direct expense of others.
Exactly others, right. You know, like. Exactly right. Like, you need to rethink your system, I think.
Which is, I guess, why, like, I'm ambivalent, because I feel like this is a hilarious and fascinating story, but it's also kind of a douchey move to,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean, the one thing that makes me feel good about it, though, is, like, at this point, we're ranked high enough that we will never really see this.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And the people who are seeing this probably aren't going to be playing Overwatch for much longer anyway.
Maybe they are. They're just there forever.
Maybe.
Pushing that boulder up the hill.
Oh, my
like,
gosh, yeah.
God.
Second worst Reaper NA.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. And it just gives me... It gives me more to think about as I see their tweaks and changes for what they're going to do with Season 2. Because you know they've seen wild stuff like this.
Yeah.
And they're just... They're just having to solve for a lot of
that. Totally. And you know what I will say is, I think anytime someone takes a game and tries to make it their own in a bizarre way is kind of inspiring.
Yeah.
Like, this guy might be a toxic sort of trolly punk, but at the end of the day, this isn't that much different than doing like an SL1 run of Dark Souls 3 or like the Mushroom run in Mario Brothers or any of the speed runs, right? Like, he's putting a handicap on himself. He's playing the game in a way that it was not meant to be played and going for it. And that's kind of cool.
Shoot for zero. You have our endorsement. Just stay out of the middle.
Spread your wings and don't fly.
Spread your wings and jump straight off of Ilios.
Exactly.
All right, let's leave it there for today. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our site. Mm-hmm. The best site, NA.
Best site, NA. Best site. Rank level one.
Best podcast, NA. Help us find new listeners by giving us a star rating on any of the platforms that you listen podcasts on.
Yeah. There's what? We got Stitcher, got iTunes.
We got Runic.
Got our
symbols.
Got our...
We're on the radio, kids. Ha ha!
There's probably a WoW mod.
Our NPR show's coming eventually.
Yeah, that's right. Terry Gross, guest star next week.
Hey, we're talking about Worst Reaper NA today.
Worst Reaper NA. Hey, we're going to follow along his quest to get bad.
To get bad.
All right. Until next time, everyone. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
So long.